Thank you for joining us, Nook and Cranium Podcast. Zach, I'm here with Vince and Eric. We're going to talk about the seasons.
Vince.
Not all the seasons, just the one coming up. It affects everybody a little bit differently in this hemisphere. Talking about winter, talking about shorter days, less daylight. You know, it gets colder outside. People bundling up.
Winter is coming.
Daylight savings time. All the things. Holidays. Holiday season. Lots of stuff going on right now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think we'll start off talking about seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah. How about us? How about, like, you know, tying into that, what have we experienced? Anything, you know, since it's got colder? Do we notice anything with our well-being or mental health that's notable, you know, just due to the change of seasons?
I've never really paid attention to it in myself. But now that I'm a little bit more aware, then I want to see if I can tell any differences. Or maybe it's one of those things where my wife would probably notice those changes more than I would.
The changes in herself or the changes in you?
Changes in me.
Could be. I think one of the biggest factors is the shorter days, and also the sun is lower on the horizon. More areas are shaded that you might be in. You don't get a lot of sunlight, and you have to get sunlight on your skin in order to synthesize vitamin D. So the shorter days, you got less opportunity. It gets cold outside. You bundle up. You're putting on the hat that comes down to your eyebrows and the mask that comes up to your nose, and you got sleeves, and you're putting on gloves.
Covering up all the receptors.
Have a vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah, and that doesn't help. Most people would have to supplement vitamin D in the winter to maintain high enough stores. I know that they added vitamin D to milk at one point in time to try to fight this very phenomenon. Albeit milk, not the best thing to consume anyway.
Right. But I do notice I get tired really quick. Even if I get like enough sleep, I'm always sleepy. So I feel like this could also be a part of that as well.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Like you can never get enough sleep.
Yeah. You'll feel tired, and it kind of lends to you being cranky.
Yeah. And now my wife probably can speak to me being cranky.
That's one thing. I think that's like one of the signs that I've noticed in myself and sometimes in the people around me in the season where we don't have much sun or we're not going out in the sun. You know, sometimes we just get irritable. Like, what's wrong? You know, you hungry? Not really. You know, got bad news? I'm chilling. Just feeling a little irritable. Sometimes it's just need some sunshine. You know, got to get out there, find a way to get in it, go to the track outside, go on a jog or something like that.
There are parts of the world that get upwards of 300 days of sunshine a year, and they are statistically among the happier populations. And it's, you know, of course, it has stuff to do with being able to do the outdoor activities, you know, where some places it might be, you know, raining or something like that. I guess the drawback is droughts and water shortages and stuff like that, or at least the people in those areas, they get quite a bit of rain at certain parts of the year, and then they're just very, very good at conserving water to make it last. It's because it's just a part of life.
Right. And I can imagine the areas where it gets too cold is definitely a struggle when it comes to making yourself go outside to try and find that sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The strange thing is, interestingly, the farther, let's say you go farther north and you're up into, I don't know, the Scandinavian countries or something like that, where it's very harsh, cold winters, but at the same time, more daylight.
Yeah.
Just because the positioning of the sun to the earth during the winter, that part gets more daylight hours than, you know, closer to the equator where it actually swings out of the light faster.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But you're all bundled up.
That's where you get people like, what's that guy's name? Wim Hof. Y'all know about Wim Hof?
Sounds familiar.
That sounds familiar.
The Iceman. Iceman, Wim Hof.
Yeah.
And he'll do these breathing techniques, and he can control his bodily function, control like his adrenaline level just by focused breathing, warm himself up. He could be submerged in ice cold water, stay warm. The guy's pretty amazing. He has a guided meditation on YouTube that I follow, that I've followed several times before, specifically in the wintertime when I want to go outside, get some sun, get some skin exposure, but it's cold. I do some Wim Hof breathing.
That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. And amazing at the same time.
Oh, man. You don't have to be cold to do it, but that's like one of the perks that if you're in a cold, you could warm up by doing
it. Now, do we think affirmations would assist with, dealing with the seasons and making sure you're putting positive thoughts and different types of messages in your head? What do you all think about that?
Oh, certainly.
You will not sit down all day today. You are active. You will stand in the sun for an hour.
2 hours.
I think those are less affirmations and more creepy commands.
Oh, okay.
Just do it.
Just do it. Yeah.
No plug.
Manchurian candidate.
What do you think, Zach?
About positive affirmations?
Yeah.
I think that, anytime you're in a slump or anytime you're feeling negative, which is certainly characteristic of, seasonal affective disorder or any emotional changes that you go through when the days are shorter and the weather's colder and the holidays are here and all of this and that, any positivity you can add is going to be a benefit. They can help you. They can help you get your day started sooner. If you get your day started earlier, maybe you have more additional time to get out there and try to scoop up what little sunlight you can. But, there's still going to be hurdles. You look at one of the most obvious hurdles. You look at the population of Africa, for example. Africa is one of those places that gets tons of sunlight. And the people there, as you know, they develop a skin color to protect them from so much sun, which also protects them from excessive UVB, which is the wavelength required to synthesize vitamin D. So where I might burn in the sun, one of you would be better protected. But I don't need as much time in the sun to get adequate vitamin D as you do. I think the last metric I saw was like a 4-to-1 difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty big.
On a certain day, with a certain UV index, 30 minutes might be enough for me to get sufficient vitamin D for that day, whereas someone with, we'll say, very dark skin would be close to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. So we need to go back, because what does seasonal affective disorder look like as it pertains to your lives?
There's the thing of, getting irritable easier. Tending to irritability. Also, just that extra little fire you need to get going to do whatever it is you're going to do. Not to drag your feet doing it, but just having that extra energy storage.
All right.
It seems to affect like dopamine. I'd like to see a little research on that, see if there's some research, but it seems to affect the dopamine or just that general excitement that you're going to have for life. Just energy might just be a little bit more subdued,
For myself, I mean, I might have a little more difficulty concentrating if I really think about it. I saw some symptoms included like low energy, feeling sluggish, losing interest in certain activities, which makes sense because there's certain activities that you can do when it's more light outside and warm that you can't do once it gets cold and the day ends faster. I work until 5:30 in the evening, and here now it's almost dark at that time. So there's not much time left to salvage any outdoor activities that I need light for anyway. I saw carbohydrate cravings increased. Some people overeat and gain weight. I don't have a problem with it. I eat mostly carbs all the time anyway. So I don't gain weight from carbs.
Now that could be something that I need to pay more attention to in myself. I don't know if I pick up in that particular area, but it's probably something I should definitely monitor.
Carbs are generally a good idea anyway. Your body burns them for fuel. If it's cold, you're going to shiver a lot. You need carbs to burn for fuel. And your body will resort to burning fat. And in extreme cases, it'll resort to burning protein. You really don't want it to have to do that. Carbs are the easiest, cleanest, lowest calorie option for sure.
Oh, yeah. The way I think of it is if you don't eat your carbs, your body's going to turn whatever you eat into carbs. Simple as that.
You way to put it.
I would say we recently set the clocks back. So it's lighter earlier, but you know, as the winter progresses and we get closer to the, you know, December and into, you know, out towards January, then it'll still be dark a little bit later in the morning. And, you know, we generally want to wake up when the sun comes up. It's just kind of how we're wired, but we don't live in a society that allows us to really do that. You know, like we got to get up and go to work, or you got to get up to get the kids up because they got to go to school or whatever you've got going on during the day. So it still being dark when you get up in the morning is also going to have an effect on you psychologically, I'm sure. You're still going to feel tired. You may be real sluggish until the sun does come up because that's really what your body wants, that light to tell it, hey, now is the time, and you're not getting it till later.
Yeah. Circadian rhythms.
There's probably some people that work and miss the sun during this time.
Yeah, 12-hour shifts. I remember I used to work a warehouse 12-hour shifts, and I would start before the sun came up, and I'd work 12 hours, and then I'd get off work just to drive home to the sunset, maybe right before sunset. I mean, luckily with that situation, it was like I think it was a 3-day on, 4-day off type of situation. So, but yeah, it can be rough. It can be rough with the work schedule.
I feel like I would definitely be depressed if that was like a continual thing for me.
Yeah, I was reading that when the days do get shorter and the winter comes on, it affects your melatonin balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it causes, you know, disruptions in your sleep. And depression is a symptom of, you know, an imbalance in your sleep patterns. You know, like you covered in the last episode, you know, depression and deep rest and making that connection. The melatonin is the hormone that your body uses to regulate your sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And also serotonin. You'll see a decrease in serotonin with the decrease in light hours, which can also cause, you know, those depressive type feelings.
And serotonin, that's like that the chemical that gives you kind of a sense of well-being or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, regulates mood.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah. Versus dopamine, more like the get up and get it, you know, cheery and, you know, amped up kind of, well, amped up might be adrenaline, but kind of seems like dopamine more of an action oriented type of neurotransmitter versus serotonin. I don't know. I've always thought of it as like a feeling of well-being, like you said, like, but then melatonin just calm you down. Oh, can't keep my eyes open.
Even killed.
What do you say?
even killed kind of?
Not even, even killed. It's like that thing that, you know, you ever feel so tired, you just can't keep your eyes open. You're watching a movie and you don't even realize that they've been closed. And Yeah, sleep drive. That's it. Excellent. Drive to go to sleep, because it really is like that.
Well, I'd like to distinguish. We're talking about, you know, what would be called like winter onset seasonal affective disorder. It's not just specific to when winter comes around. People often have these issues, you know, around the time of spring, when spring goes into summer, the days get longer.
Yeah.
And yes. People in turn might end up with like some of the opposite effects: insomnia, it may be some excessive energy. They might lose some of that weight that they gained during the winter, which I don't know. It almost seems like you should be gaining weight during the winter.
That's
then losing it again in the summer.
Yeah, right.
In summer, sometimes people have it too. Vitamin D deficiency, even in the summer. And so if you got it in the summer, just imagine the wintertime, and then, you know, you have a lot of people dealing with depression and anxiety and different things, and you need that physical activity. A lot of it is going to occur outside when you're in the sun.
Right.
And then the diet is important too, because for your body to use that vitamin D, you need, I think it's like vitamin K and magnesium and some other things in order for it to do what it needs to do.
Vitamin K2.
So there's what? K1 and a K2, right?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Vitamins are vital.
Yeah. And that's going to be like, where do you find those? If I was going to eat something and wanted some, I know magnesium's like nuts, seeds, dark leafy greens, and K2. Where would you get your K2? It's like natto or something. I want to say it's greens as well, but I think it's more than that, than just that. Green, dark leafy greens have a lot of stuff in them.
According to the Cleveland Clinic, foods that are high K2 or just what you would think they are: collard greens, turnip greens, spinach, kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. Looks like dark leafy greens and cruciferous vegetables. Really one of the few foods that we're required to eat to maintain a healthy.
So eat your greens, people.
Oh, yeah. So you get with your dark leafy greens, you get some magnesium, you get the K. If you throw some hemp seeds or something like that in there, you get the magnesium too.
Oh, and here's a funny thing.
Uh-huh.
It also says that fermented soy, sauerkraut, kefir, pretty heard both ways.
Kefir
are high. And then it says here, it says for people who eat animal products as part of a standard American or Western diet, chicken breast also has vitamin K2.
Really?
If you got options, but you got to eat a good diet, get some sunlight. The amazing thing, a lot of those foods, if anyone's ever grown anything, I know a lot of those foods you harvest around the time of year where the days start to get a little shorter. You know, a lot of your cruciferous veggies.
Depending on your climate.
Yeah, depending on your climate.
A lot of these greens actually grow better in the cold, especially spinach. Spinach is very cold hardy.
Uh-huh.
Kale.
Kale, definitely. I've seen some kale with some snow on it outside. Everything else was dead around it. It was just chilling with some little little snow on the leaves.
I guess your alternative is taking vitamins as well.
Vitamin, yeah.
I have a supplement. It is a vitamin D supplement that has K2 in it.
That's good stuff.
And that's just because, you know, I might need to take the vitamin D, but I might not be ready to eat any of the foods that contain the K2, especially with the long work hours and not really eating a whole lot in between.
Yeah, supplementation. I know they've got a lot of different options for vitamin D, vitamin DK2s, magnesium. We get capsules, powders that dissolve into your water.
I mean, well, typically I would take a vitamin patch.
Yeah.
It's like 8 pills, of which is not very fun to take all of them.
Eight pills at once.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
oh, no.
Different sizes, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's crazy. A lot of those things aren't compatible to take at the same time. Like, you don't take zinc and magnesium at the same time because each one makes the absorption of the other diminished.
I didn't know about that one.
Definitely good to know.
Actually, I saw a study where, or that's not a study, I saw an opinion piece, make that clear, where somebody believed that the only reason that vegetarians still get cancer other than environmental causes is from supplementation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here the most supplements aren't regulated.
Oh. To like heavy metals or like cadmium or something like that.
All kinds of stuff can be found in there. And there doesn't seem to be much in the way of making sure that those things are declared on the label.
Yeah. Some of them are lab tested, but you may have to go kind of out of the way to seek out those supplements that have been lab tested for, you know, things like their potency and make sure that they don't have heavy metals or, you know, harmful substances in there.
That seems like a good project for Patreon to do some research and find some of the more reputable brands for vitamins.
That's definitely a great idea.
Oh, yeah. And so it's good to have options, especially safe options for supplementation. But at the same time, you want to know how to get it the original way, you know, from your diet, from the sun.
Very true.
From your water, you know.
That's a big one.
You get some good water, spring water. It's got minerals in it, calcium, magnesium. What else does it have? Like a bunch of things, probably minerals phosphorus. We never heard. Phosphorus.
The stuff that you would consider electrolytes, it's all in mineral water. Mineral water has, you know, trace amounts of iron and copper and other nutrients that you need. They say that historically, human beings have gotten 10% of our needed minerals from our drinking water. But, you know, these days, you walk into an American grocery store, most of our drinking water is purified. Which purified water is, you know, other than the method at which it's filtered, it's essentially distilled water.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there. Everything's been filtered out of it. Then water likes to be saturated with minerals. So, you know, in nature, you know, it runs across the ground, it runs through the bedrocks and all of this is and that's. And in the aquifer, it's picking up these minerals. And the spring water is very mineral rich. Well, purified water has no minerals. Even when they add minerals for taste, it's not the content that you'd expect. There's no dissolved solids. There's no silica that's necessary for a healthy diet. There's a lot of these things are absent. And then you drink the filtered water or the purified water, and it absorbs minerals from inside of you and carries them out. You're doing the opposite of what you want. You're drinking extra water to be more hydrated, but you have to pee more because your body's trying to get rid of this water it can't use. And this water's taking minerals with it on the way out.
And it's some places around the world, though, they drink mineral water. Just normally.
Yeah, when you and I, actually a year ago this month, when you and I were overseas, we saw, I don't think I saw filtered water at all, purified water at all. Every bottle or jug that you saw in the store was mineral water, what they called it. We call it spring water.
Yeah, not much purified water, just mineral water.
And we didn't have to drink much?
No, it was funny you mentioned that because it took me, there was a particular mineral water. What was it called? Something Vichy? Something like that? You remember that one, Zach? It had like a flavor to it. Like it was, you could tell it was really minerally.
That was Vichy Catalan.
Vichy Catalan. I had a little one. I drank the little one, but then I got a bigger bottle and man, it took me the whole, it was like, I don't know how many days it took me to finish it.
Did you have the still water or the sparkling?
Sparkling.
It's funny because it's sparkling water, but it was taken out of the ground that way.
Yeah. Naturally occurring.
Yeah, like naturally effervescent just because of the minerals that are in it.
Oh, wow. That's actually pretty cool.
And I've seen some like that here, but they want, you know, $4 for a little bottle this size.
Which is insane. Now we do, we live about 25 minutes from the springs, which a lot of the local people know about. And so that water was pretty good. That was my first time having like just spring water from a flowing spring.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
You see people there like filling up growlers and stuff?
Absolutely. Everything. I heard people.
Big 5 gallon jugs.
Yep. People shower with it. This one lady, she says she does everything with the water. She cooks with it, bathes, brush her teeth.
So y'all just waiting out there with your empty water bottles, you know. What's the holdup, man? This lady over here showering in the water, man.
It was a lot when we went. It was about a lot of 3 cars.
Man.
Just filling up their jugs.
I got to go out there, man. I just filled up my water today. I filled up a 5 gallon jug and a 3 gallon jug. So I'm going to have to go down that way.
Yeah, I've been meaning to go much again.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't mention that. You'll show up tomorrow and there'll be a toll.
Oh, man.
They'll have it capped selling bottled water there, purified water.
Oh, man. We're going to have to keep it under wraps.
Somewhere out west.
Somewhere. So. Yeah.
Far out west.
I mean, here in the west.
Yeah, it's good to have, though, man. Good thing to pay a little attention to the quality of water you drink. Get some good minerals in there.
I never thought about the fact of the water, like, not doing anything for you and just make you have to go to the bathroom all the time.
Yeah. And then the recommendation, you know, you drank one glass, made you go, didn't it? Drink 7 more of those.
Drinking all day.
Like, hey, but if your water doesn't have any minerals in it, it make you wonder, what's it doing?
Like, what is it doing?
Sometimes I'll put salt in my water. I made this thing called Soul. And it's like the way I made it, I took some big chunks of rock salt. I ordered them from Redmond. It's in... Where is it? Utah. And they're the company that makes this stuff called Real Salt. And so they have granulated salt, but they also have these big chunks that you can buy. And so I got some Real Salt and big chunks. I think they're pretty neat. The colors they came in, it wasn't just like plain white salt. Like they had different coloration, almost looked like some colorful crystals or something. And I put that in a mason jar with some water And I just kept adding it until, you know, the water was saturated. I'm not sure it ever fully saturated. It's supposed to be fully saturated, but I used all my salt. But it got pretty thick. And I'll take a little bit of that and just add it to some water and sip on that throughout the day. And what I noticed is that, yeah, for one, the water didn't give me the urge that I just had to go straight to the bathroom. You know, it sat with me. But at the same time, another thing I noticed was that I didn't get really hungry throughout the day.
That's interesting.
You know, like I didn't develop any like really strong urges to eat. My hunger was just kind of calm. Like I could eat if I wanted, but it wasn't, you know, anything crazy. Maybe grab a piece of fruit or something.
That makes sense. And actually, that was going to be a life hack that I was going to throw out there is that, you know, when I'm at work, a lot of the water that we have access to is purified water. I take a little container of sea salt with me, and I can just take a little pinch and put it in the bottle and shake it up. And it tastes like any of the high-dollar water bottles.
Life tip.
Just as good as Gatorade for your electrolytes. No sugar.
Good stuff.
I wanted to correct something I said earlier, right quick, reading through this information. The Scandinavian countries get their long daylight hours, I believe, in the summer. And in the wintertime, I think they have long nights. Really long nights. Because I was seeing on Very Well Mind, they were mentioning that a lot of the Scandinavian people just have positive mindsets that help get them through that time. They take advantage of the darkness, and you know they take their vitamin D and they cozy up by a fire. They get a little extra sleep. I even saw where some people have simulated daylight, where the room has lights that will gradually brighten and then dim, kind of with daytime hours.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
There's ways to do that. I saw an alarm clock that does it. I'm like, yeah,
me too.
You might want to get that alarm clock. That sounds pretty neat.
Yeah. And then plays nature sounds too.
Sounds like a little bit of mental toughness there. Knowing the region that you're in, that you're doing things that you're preparing for. And like we did even like mention, like, you know, Alaska with what they have to deal with. And
yeah.
And knowing a lot of people suffer from depression there, it's probably a lot of different exercises of mental toughness.
Alaska would probably be very similar. Having long periods of dark, but they're on the standard American diet there, so that's not helping much.
Right. Standard American diet of food and entertainment.
So I heard that Hawaii was paying people to live there. Have y'all heard something like that? Not Hawaii.
No.
Not Hawaii. Where we talk, I wish Hawaii. Sanya,
where are we going?
Yeah. Peace. Where I'm going, Hawaii. No, Alaska, though.
I wonder how much.
Were they paying people to live there, or were they like giving people real estate?
I think it was paying people to live there. That's what I heard.
I feel like I've heard the other. I don't know if it was Alaska. It might have been somewhere else.
There are some spots. I know I saw some spots abroad. I want to say like Italy or Spain or something, but like some small towns that were, you know, either giving people a home or something of that nature, or paying them to live there. There was some compensation.
Yeah, some places do that. I know Italy has a thing where if you commit to making your full-time residence one of the areas where they're seeing the most population decline, then you'll get a stipend. I don't know the amount, but it's not that easy to acquire. The money you're given has to be used towards renovating a property that you buy there, which is a huge incentive. But I think in the fine print, it says that you have to have been a resident or at least on a resident visa for X number of years before you can even qualify.
Yeah. I know different places have like different requirements for these programs with these benefits.
Yep. And some of them, even though they want to pay you to try to repopulate the area, you still have to meet all the requirements of their visas, which can be difficult.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So my mom, she experiences a seasonal affective disorder. And so with what comes with it is also, and we discussed this off camera, kind of rolls into like, you know, the holidays and then Greece. And so we lost my grandmother, and that's been a very tough thing for my mom. And my grandmother has been gone since, well, I want to say I was in college, so it's been a pretty, pretty long time. My mom still grieves over that. I want to say I do too. But my mom, it really hurt my mom because we all lived together growing up. It was me, my mom, my grandmother, but my brother, my cousin. Like, we all stayed together.
And so. Me.
Yeah. So we did a lot of things with my grandmother. My mom and my grandmother did like just about everything together. So around this particular time is holidays when it's colder. So on top of the symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, it's compiled with the holidays of like in previous episodes we discussed the anxiety and having to deal with, you know, Christmas and being around family. So now our family gatherings are kind of smaller, you know, and you miss seeing those certain people that you always had around. So it definitely affects my mom different ways.
She was one of the people that brought a lot of the family together for the family events.
And, you know, even with that, during a lot of holidays, we got together with our cousins, and we don't really do that too much anymore. But that was like really a good time for all of us to get together and eat and enjoy each other's company. I miss it sometimes.
I remember being there for a few holidays.
Yeah. And it also doesn't help that my cousin passed as well. So that put another damper on during that time.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. The holidays are a time when people are probably more likely to remember loved ones that they've lost because that's when people tend to get together. You know, a lot of families, especially here, they've kind of gotten away from, you know, having dinner together real often. Some people might still have like a weekly dinner that they share. Maybe it's on Sunday after church, or maybe Saturday for the football games, or Sunday for those football games. You know, at least I notice in my family, we don't really get together for anything. As you know, I mentioned before, we're not geographically very close to any of our family, but even when we were, it just kind of a thing of the past. It doesn't happen very often, with the exception of the holidays. So we make those connections with family members on the holidays. If we lose any of those family members, we feel it most during the holidays.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. That can be a major factor right there.
And I think, you know, I mentioned it a lot. The community aspect is really important for us. And as we're losing people and family members and those relationships, I think it still helps to build and to just grow your community. I feel like growing your community kind of helps you deal with the loss because you still have like a huge support system. But a lot of times, a lot of us just kind of continue to keep minimizing for whatever the reason. Maybe we're scared. Maybe it's our society pushing us to be more independent. But I think when you talk about a seasonal affective disorder, community can also be a thing that I would think would help with it, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's human nature, you know, to mourn the people that we've lost. But I feel like it's also important to take the opportunity to celebrate the lives of the people that we lost, then to try to find a silver lining, to make something positive out of it, to make it uplifting, to imagine that they're, you know, right back here rooting you on is probably a better approach than, you know, to try to think about, you know, they're not here at all. They've gone on. Maybe you want to believe that they're in a better place. And that may very well help. But I like to think that they're around. They're rooting me on. I try to not think about them not being here because, you know, I've lost a lot of family members. I've got one grandparent left, and you know, I've lost people even younger than that.
So I feel like I struggle with grief a lot. I'm 38 years old. We're all on the older side. And so like when you've been on this earth so long, you tend to experience a lot of death.
And I don't think you ever reach a point in your life where you don't experience, you know, the loss of people that you knew or people that you knew very closely until you yourself are gone.
Yeah, well, Zach, I think what you said was beautiful about the perspective, thinking of them as if they're still here. They may not be in the physical, but the idea that they're still around in some form. I tend to think that way as well. I know lots of different cultures have a history of the idea of ancestors or ancestral realm. I don't think that's, you know, maybe not so much of a part of like modern culture for most people in this country today. But I have been exposed to that to a certain extent. And I think there's something, definitely something to it.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, from a psychological standpoint, it puts you in a better place to think that there's, you know, a conclusion or to think that there's, you know, something finite about what's going on in your life. Just a few weeks ago was Dia de los Muertos, which is, it's a Mexican holiday. I don't know its origin too well. I know they celebrate on the first and second days of November, but what I've seen, and we did this, when I took Spanish in high school, every year we celebrated Dia de los Muertos, and we would build little shrines in that classroom to kind of imitate the culture that they build their shrines to celebrate their loved ones, and they light the candles, and they do all the things. It's, you know, that's the festivities and stuff that you associate with like those really opulent, colorful, floral designed like skulls all that stuff. And we have these shrines without candles because you couldn't have fire in school. And it was neat to put yourself in that position and just think about it that way. And that may have helped with the way that I think about stuff nowadays. You know, just that little exposure that I had. I look forward to Halloween every year, one of my favorite holidays. The very next day, Dia de los Muertos.
That's good.
Which translates to Day of the Dead, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I said that.
Dia, day, and yep. Los Dia Muertos. De
Los Muertos. I guess it's a, it says here, this is from UNESCO. It's celebrated in Mexico, parts of the United States, Guatemala, Bolivia, and Ecuador. I feel like it might be more than that.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
But they coincide with All Saints Day, and which is the first, and the day after All Saints Day, which is All Souls Day on November the 2nd.
That's something else we can probably do some research on.
I think that originates from the Roman Catholic Church.
All Souls Day?
Yeah, All Saints Day and All Souls Day.
I've never heard of All Souls Day.
Never heard of
Heard of All Saints Day.
Patreon research.
Nah, this is 2024. We got the internet right here. All Souls Day, according to Wikipedia, is also known as the commemoration of all the faithful departed.
Okay.
A day of, basically a day of remembrance observed on the 2nd of November. Actually, back in Roman Catholic times, it was celebrated on various dates during the Easter season.
That's good to know.
What else happens with the changing of the seasons?
It's good to be mindful of your nutrition with the change of the seasons.
Ah.
The foods.
Absolutely.
They're not always what they seem.
If the fresh food can't grow in your yard, they're not getting it from your area.
And sometimes when they can, it's still not from the area. You know, like North Carolina, South Carolina, we're right next to Georgia. And North Carolina and South Carolina as well has excellent peaches. Excellent.
Yeah, but you'd never hear about those.
No, if you go to the grocery store during peach season, you're probably going to see peaches from California. It's weird. It's good to know. You can look online and refresh yourself with the information of which foods are in season, where you live, and
shop local.
Eat some of those. Shop local. Go to your farmer's market. Most places have a farmer's market. Some have programs where they'll deliver the food right to your front door. I like going out there, get some satellite, meet the neighbors in a community, and meet some of the people that grow the food. And depending on what farmers markets you go to, there may be freshly prepared food you could enjoy there. I know there's one out in North Carolina, out in Winston-Salem, where, you know, they sharpen knives for you. They had some people out there last time I went that had a homemade pasta from wheat that was grown at a organic farm in South Carolina, and they sell it to you frozen, not that dry stuff. Yeah, really neat stuff. A lot of neat stuff. Jellies, jams, herbs, potatoes, squashes, you know, whatever you could imagine.
I don't think I can say I've had homemade pasta.
Oh, yeah. It was good, too. It was a little, that one was a little pricey, but I dare to say it was worth it.
If you've seen the process of them making pasta by hand, it justifies the price.
Did we discuss anxiety?
For a long time, I thought the A in seasonal affective disorder was for anxiety. So I'm just seemed calling like it was seasonal anxiety disorder. And it's, I mean, it fits.
Yeah.
It's just not as all-compassing as seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, I know. Back to magnesium, that's if you was to Google the side effects of not having enough magnesium. When I Googled it once upon a time, it's been a while, but I remember seeing something like headache, irritability, trouble sleeping, anxiety. Those were a few, you know, tightness.
Muscle spasms.
Yeah, muscle spasms. I'm like, goodness. I'm like, that's a whole host of common symptoms. You know,
and a lot of those minerals and some vitamins too, a lot of the symptoms overlap.
Yeah.
I don't think we're in very good practice of ever going and getting any blood work done to see if the way that we're eating is providing us with enough of the things that we need.
Right. Yeah. There's that. Even when you're eating the right things, what's in there? You can Google how much magnesium in spinach, but how much magnesium was in the spinach that you ate just then? Because it's a little different than a different bunch grown somewhere else.
Very true.
Yeah, grown in depleted soil. And magnesium is one of those minerals that that purified water carries back out of you.
Stealing. What is your best sources for magnesium?
I could tell you one. Chocolate. Cocoa. It
says here that roasted almonds, roasted cashews, flaxseed, roasted peanuts, roasted pumpkin seeds, and chia seeds. And then you have black beans, soybeans, lima beans. Any of your beans are going to have some magnesium in them. Wheat and quinoa, spinach, Swiss chard, and collard greens, all high in magnesium. Avocados, bananas, papaya, blackberries, peas, corn, potatoes, dark chocolate, at least 70%.
Potatoes, yeah.
Mineral water.
Mineral water.
Good old mineral waters.
If you drink the required amount of water that you should have in a day, it is more magnesium than any other single source.
Wow. Just from the water.
Just from the water.
A lot of these lists don't mention hemp seeds, but they're...
They didn't mention a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure. Hemp seeds is just one of those things that has a whole lot of zinc, magnesium, omega-3s. I think omega-3s is one of the ones that has a lot of nutrients. I would dare to call it a superfood. It's really good though. And it's got a decent amount of protein.
I think the whole plant is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about all the things they make from all the different parts. I used to have an app on my phone and I could it would scan barcodes of food items, but also you could just type in miscellaneous thing, type in a banana, and it would tell you the typical nutrient profile for that particular type of food. And I say typical because, like we mentioned earlier, you know, where it comes from, how the soil was, how long it's been in transit, whether it was how it was kept and stored, all affect its nutrition. But I don't remember what that app was. If I figure it out, I'll drop it in the description.
I got one. It wasn't Yuka, was it?
No.
Okay.
It was a long word. Chronometer. I haven't had it in a long time. I used it, and this is actually another life hack. I used it to get my, you know, like to monitor the calorie intake and stuff to make sure I was getting enough because, you know, the way that I eat, I don't get a lot of calories in my diet, even though I eat a lot of food. So I need to maintain a certain level of calories in order to maintain my weight and not lose weight or lose muscle, which I don't want to do. And I used it early on just to help me get an idea of what that many calories looked like, what it felt like, what certain things had what. It helped, you know, I got rid of the app a long time ago because you had to pay for it on a rolling basis. You know, it was worth it when I had it, but now that I have a better understanding of my diet and what my nutritional needs, I don't need that app anymore.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's neat to have an app like that when you're doing a dietary change or when you have a dietary goal. I've used stuff like that before. I don't remember what it was called, but just the basic idea of like a food log, where you could log your food, and then some of them show you macronutrients, but then some of them will show you the everything else too, the zinc and the copper and the calcium and just the full spectrum of nutrients that you're supposed to get, and plot it on like a chart or a graph so you can see exactly compared to what a 100% recommended amount would be versus the amount that you actually got from the food that you logged in. And of course, not going to be exact because, you know, there's a lot of variables, but it's an average.
I think I nailed it on the name. It's Chronometer.
Chronometer.
It says here, only 5% of Americans are diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder. I feel like there's varying intensities.
And, for sure.
And most of us that have any issues during the changing of the seasons never really share that with anybody else, especially or not with any professionals.
Right.
Some people with like more severe symptoms, I can understand that. And if you are someone who does have more severe symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, by all means, talk to somebody, see if they can help you figure out what's going on and help you with, you know, good advice for managing seasonal affective disorder. UC Davis, a little advice from their website, says that, you know, make a habit of getting out for a walk every day, breathing in the fresh air, getting a little bit of the sunlight. If it's dark outside, you know, if you're in one of those areas, still get outside, still get the fresh air, still get the change of scenery, a little bit of exercise while you're at it. Like we mentioned, you know, if you can't get more sunlight, supplement with vitamin D or any foods that may be fortified with vitamin D. They say, you know, this is the time to break out puzzles and board games and try to plan to enjoy, you know, the times when it's darker outside and colder.
Exercise the mind.
Yep. Move your body. Get physical exercise. Doesn't have to be anything difficult. Like they mentioned, you know, take a walk. Can be a bike ride. Couple sets of stairs, pretty good too.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
You know, I have to stay in a hotel for work. I started using the stairs in lieu of the elevator, except when I'm carrying my stuff.
It's too much stuff to carry.
I can't carry it upstairs. I take too much stuff. I live there. Stuff to make my own coffee and appliances that I definitely don't hook up in the bathroom and use. The stuff that I needed to sit down and do this today. What about you guys? What advice would you give?
Well, I know for me, and it's something that I'm doing right now anyway on my own, is being more intentional about being around loved ones, being around my family. There's actually one of my other friends sent me an app. Because Nike used to have on their app, they just had like different exercises for you to do. And I'm not sure if it's down or not, or they stopped doing it, but there are different like sites you can go to. You do like 5-minute short exercises. So that's something I've been working on doing. Yoga.
I've been doing isometrics in the hotel room. I brought a cheap yoga mat with me because I don't like the idea of getting my face down close to a hotel carpet. And I just go in and, you know, do some planks or maybe a couple yoga poses, you know, could do some push-ups and some leg this and arm that, whatever. Easy stuff.
Meditation.
probably a huge help. I don't do enough of it. I don't find myself with a whole lot of time, which is interesting to say because it doesn't take a lot of time.
All right.
It could be a minute.
I mean, I think all of us would be amazed at what, like, a minute or 5 minutes for our time. Even like I said with the exercise, it's 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it'll
yeah.
warm you up.
Oh, yeah.
Doing it more.
It's getting cold.
And when you're exercising, if you're, you know, you're counting your breaths or you're counting your reps or you're trying to, you know, focus your mind on what you're actually doing and you're taking yourself out of the surroundings and cooling off, but warming up. Does that make sense?
It's all good. Meditation, exercise, staying connected to loved ones, people that you want to spend time with. It's all good. Get some good water.
Good food.
Good food. Fresh food, local seasonal food, you know, a thread that kind of ties all these ideas together is habit patterns, starting habit patterns. You might not start all these things at once, you know, maybe you're really excited and you can, you know, but even if you write some things down, like maybe some of these things that we've discussed today, you know, you could write them somewhere, ideally where you could see it, you know, whiteboard in the office or something, somewhere where you're not just going to write it, forget about it. Think about one that you could add into your daily routine or two and just start there. Okay, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to walk. There's a track near my house, or, you know, whatever. I'm going to walk every day. I can do that. That'll be nice. Maybe not if it's raining, but I'm going to go out and walk. And then you do that and you create a new habit. Maybe another habit is I'm going to eat something locally every day. I'm going to make sure I'm eating at least one thing that's local. And then maybe when you get that consistent, you're like, I'm going to eat. That's good. I feel good with this. I'm going to find two things I like that's local that I can eat every day. And then you start to replace some old habits with some new habits. You know, some things are might be easier to start than others, like just changing the kind of water you're drinking to maybe have a little bit more minerals or adding certain foods to your diet. You know, make some time each day to reach out to somebody, family or some close friends. These are just little things that you can do to create new habit patterns. And when you're feeling a little bit comfortable with one new habit and you're ready for more, you can look at your list. Okay, what am I doing? What am I not doing? Ooh, look, I'm doing good. 2-3 weeks in, man, I got half of this list done. Let me add a few more. And, you know, before you know it, no SAD. You know, no seasonal depression, tiredness, whatever. You just start feeling better. And not just for the winter, but a lot of these habits could be beneficial in many seasons, perhaps all year round. I can't hurt to try them out.
Thanks for joining us. Another podcast. If you're listening to us, you can check us out on YouTube. If you already watch us on YouTube, we're also available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out our website, nookandcranium.com, spelled out. Some merch on there. Check out our old videos. Leave us a comment, like, subscribe, all the things.
Watch the videos.
Buy everybody Nook and Cranium stuff for Christmas. That's what they want. I heard them all say it.